resting places.
Well, tonight in our Resting Places series, we're off to New Orleans and we're going to visit its oldest active cemetery. Built in 1789 on the edges of the city's French Quarter, St. Louis Cemetery No. 1 is crammed with above-ground vaults and marble tombs. One of the big attractions in this city of the dead is the family vault of Marie Laveau, known as the Voodoo Queen, but she's not the only eternal resident who has had an interesting life. To tell you more, I've got with me New Orleans educator and tour guide, August Darbon, to join us. Hello, August. Welcome to Nightlife.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Very well indeed. Now, describe the St. Louis Cemetery No. 1 to us and what it is like to walk into it.
For those that have never seen St. Louis Cemetery or even any Louisiana-style cemetery, it can be kind of disorienting. It's almost like entering a maze. When you first walk in, you see a number of different large tomb structures, and the cemetery is surrounded by a wall. The tombs oftentimes are facing different directions. They're in different shapes, different sizes. They have inscriptions in different languages. And so it can be a bit disorienting at first. And additionally, to add on to that disorientation, nearly all tombs are painted white. So it really truly feels like you're walking to a maze for the very first time if you've never been to one.
Yeah. So now, why are there so many above ground graves?
So there's a lot of above-ground graves, mainly for two major reasons, culture and geography. Above-ground tombs, we see them in France, the Père Lachaise Cemetery in Paris. And so when the French colonized Louisiana and other parts of the New World, they brought that style of cemetery with them. But also, particularly for New Orleans, these above-ground tombs also serve a geographic reason. New Orleans was built in a very swampy area. It has a very high water table. In the very early days of the colony itself, burials did happen below ground. But then after heavy rain or a hurricane, the water table would rise so much that corpses would literally be risen out of their graves and literally pop out of the ground. And obviously we don't want grandma popping out the ground like that. So the French took their already above ground style tombs and adapted them for the city of New Orleans. And it just stuck. And so now we have these above ground tombs that solves that high water table problem, but also harkens back to our French colonial heritage.
Yeah. So, August, for example, Hurricane Katrina, in which New Orleans was flooded, did the water get into St. Louis Cemetery?
Yes. There was some flooding in St. Louis Cemetery, but not nearly as catastrophic as other areas. So the French Quarter and the older parts of the city are actually built along a natural levee, if you will. So it's a naturally higher elevation right along the Mississippi River, just because of the millennium of the river depositing sediment in those areas. And so St. Louis did face some flooding, but not catastrophic flooding like we see in lower parts of the city.
I've got Dr. August Darbon with us to take us through St. Louis Cemetery No. 1 in New Orleans. Now, the No. 1, does that indicate that there is a St. Louis Cemetery No. 2 and No. 3?
Yes, there is. So there's a St. Louis Cemetery No. 2 and 3 as well. The Archdiocese of New Orleans just love to replicate the name St. Louis. So St. Louis No. 2 is actually walking distance from St. Louis No. 1. And then St. Louis No. 3 is in what we call the mid-city area of New Orleans, closer to where New Orleans City Park is. And St. Louis No. 3 is the most recent and the newest cemetery.
So take us back to its establishment in 1789. Why was it established there just outside the French Quarter?
So even though today's St. Louis Cemetery is the oldest existing cemetery, it was not New Orleans' first cemetery. Originally, burials occurred along the levee space, right along the river. But as the city of New Orleans became more established, the first cemetery was a cemetery in what today is the French Quarter. It didn't have an official name, but today we call it St. Peter Cemetery because it was along the modern-day St. Peter Street. But as the city grew and as living spaces expanded, you know, a lot of people didn't want to live right next door to the cemetery. And so St. Louis Cemetery number one was built at the time outside the city limits. It was across the Rampart, which was the outer border of the city, and what today is called Rampart Street. Building cemeteries outside of the city and living spaces was pretty common in colonial cities and even in European cities in the 1700s. People didn't know how diseases spread. There was fears of diseases spreading from dead bodies. Also in tropical and swampy New Orleans, there's a lot of mosquitoes. So New Orleans saw a history of epidemics. And so as people passed from these epidemics, it was a safety concern to bury the bodies further away from the living populations just for fear of those epidemics being spread. And also, you know, just in a very swampy area like New Orleans, the smell of decomposing bodies is one that people would definitely prefer to be further away from. And so that's a major reason why this cemetery was established originally outside of the city limits.
And it was originally exclusively Roman Catholic. How has it evolved over the years in that regard?
Yes. So the French and then even later the Spanish colonizers of Louisiana were Catholic countries. And so the population was majority Catholic. The cemetery itself, even to this day, is still run by the Roman Catholic Church. It's operated by the Archdiocese of New Orleans. But in the late 1700s, there's actually a addition to the cemetery that was built towards the back. And that addition became known as the Protestant section. After the Louisiana Purchase, when Louisiana officially became part of the United States, many English-speaking American Protestants started to move into the city. And historically, Protestants and Catholics have found themselves at odds culturally a lot. You know, we've seen it in Ireland's history, but we also have in Louisiana's history. And so even in burial, the Catholic Church is like, well, they can't be buried in the same space next to Catholics. So we set up this Protestant section in the back of the cemetery. Eventually in the, I believe, mid-1800s, a new cemetery was built called Giro Street Cemetery, which today no longer exists. But that cemetery was built specifically for Protestant denominations. And most of the burials in the Protestant section of St. Louis, not all of them, but most of them, were exhumed and reburied in Giro Street Cemetery. But today, if you go visit St. Louis, there is still a small remaining section in the back where there are a few remnants of the Protestant section burials. And curious to note is that most of those Protestant burials occurred below ground. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure if it deals with the theology of those Protestant denominations, if they didn't like the idea of being buried above ground, or if the Catholic Church was like, we're not building above ground tombs for the Protestants. They can figure it out on their own.
Now, one of the biggest draw cards in this cemetery is the grave of Marie Laveau, known as the Voodoo Queen. She has many admirers and some doubters. Tell us a bit about her. I mean, I think many of our audience will know of the song about the Witch Queen of New Orleans, but who was she really?
There is so much I can say about Marie Laveau. And I mean, hey, if y'all want to do another episode, feel free to call me back. But Marie Laveau was a real life historical individual and a mythic person kind of all in one. She was born in 1801 in New Orleans. She became renowned for being a voodoo practitioner, which if anyone doesn't know, voodoo is an established religious practice. It kind of came from the blending of African spiritual practices from enslaved West Africans, holding on to their traditions under the guise of Catholicism that was being forced upon them by the French and the Spanish enslavers. We see similar practices like in the Caribbean, in Cuba, they have Santeria, in Brazil, they have Candomblé, but New Orleans, we have voodoo. So she was known as a voodoo practitioner and really became a leader in that practice. But there's a lot of historical and archival evidence and recordings that show that besides just her religious practices, she was known as a philanthropist, if you will. She donated to charities. She cared for the sick. She worked as a nurse through her lifetime. She visited the imprisoned in the Orleans Parish Jail. She let the unhoused sleep in her yard and on her front porch. She was known to feed the hungry. She lended her tomb to those who did not have a place to be buried so they could have a proper burial. And so despite if people today believe that she could truly bless or curse people. What is known that in her lifetime, there are plenty of people that truly believe she could do both. And her kindness and generosity definitely left a mark on her legacy. Also, she was a woman that broke a lot of social norms for her time, intentionally and unintentionally. Upon her birth, she was a woman of African descent. She was racially mixed, but she was not enslaved. She was born a free woman of color. Both of her parents were free people of color, despite slavery being legal at the time and through most of her lifetime. She was married to a free man of color in the Catholic Church, but then later she did have a common law marriage with a white man, a man named Christophe Clapillon. So she was in an interracial marriage at a time when those were technically illegal, but, you know, they made it work. She owned her own property, which was not her husband's property, but like her own property in her name. She had multiple homes, rental properties. She had her own tomb. She bought and sold enslaved people. So she did participate in the slave trade, but even though if her exact reasonings are unknown. So there's a lot of things that make her stick out and make her story not the norm for 1800s New Orleans for a black woman.
Yeah. Now, so when you visit her, and I understand that you can actually only get into St. Louis One if you go in with a registered tour guide. I must admit, I went to New Orleans on my honeymoon. We went on a voodoo tour. We went into the cemetery. We went to Marie Laveau's grave. And whoever was running the tour did all sorts of strange things. I don't know. Maybe we sprinkled some kind of alcohol around or did some kind, you know, recognition of her voodoo ways. What actually, is that what other people do as well?
Yeah, so it was very common. There are a number of different practices, especially when the cemetery was once open to the public and you could access it without having to go on a tour. People would leave offerings, they would leave flowers, they would what we call give libations. So they would sprinkle alcohol, typically rum, around her tomb as an offering. People would leave cigar smoke. You know, at the every time I would visit St. Louis Cemetery, number one, I would leave offerings. Usually I would bring flowers and things like that. And so, especially when the cemetery was public and open, yes, people would leave a lot of offerings for her.
Why isn't it public and open anymore?
So it's actually not public because of something that happened to Marie Laveau's tomb. So I believe it was 2013. Someone walked into the cemetery and painted her tomb pink. But the paint that they used was like a latex paint, and it did not allow for natural airflow to the old bricks that actually make up her tomb. And so the brick started to deteriorate. There's a lot of restoration that had to go into it. And then also just through the years, there was a lot of vandalism, not just to Marie Laveau's tomb, but to other historical tombs as well. People would draw X's on Marie Laveau's tomb using bricks because that was a practice that became popularized, even though it doesn't have any roots in voodoo practices itself. People would knock holes into tombs to see if they could see inside, like if they could see any bones inside. People would actually take bones out of tombs. So after decades of vandalism like that, the archdiocese decided to close the cemetery to the public. So now the only ways that you can get in is through a private guided tour, like one that you did, or if you have family members buried in the tomb, you can get a family, in the cemetery, you can get a family pass to visit their tombs.
Dr. August Darbon is with us. He's talking to us about St. Louis Cemetery Number 1 in New Orleans. Now, one of my texters wonders, was this cemetery used in the movie Double Jeopardy by any chance?
In the movie Double Jeopardy, I am not sure. Actually, I believe that was, yes, I believe that was the cemetery that they used. The cemetery appeared in a number of movies. But I believe Double Jeopardy was one. It was either St. Louis Cemetery or possibly Lafayette Cemetery. Those are the two most popular that they use for movies.
Now, is it true that Nicolas Cage plans to be buried in this particular cemetery?
As far as I know, yes. So Nicolas Cage did purchase a tomb and a plot in St. Louis Cemetery, and his tomb is actually pyramid-shaped, which is very interesting to see, and you can see it today. Now, whether he still owns that tomb and plans to be buried, I can't say 100%. He doesn't really answer my texts a whole lot. but as far as I know, yes, he still plans on being buried there.
Okay, so you can go and visit if you go on a tour the spot where Nicolas Cage maybe will eventually be buried. Well, there's a claim to fame. So tell us, August, about some of the other notable people and historical figures who were buried in St. Louis No. 1.
Yes, there are quite a few. There are a number of them, being the oldest cemetery in New Orleans. There's Homer Plessy. He was known as, for his Supreme Court case, Plessy v. Ferguson, he challenged early segregation laws in Louisiana, and his court case went all the way up to our Supreme Court, where unfortunately the Supreme Court did rule against him, and that case essentially legalized segregation in the United States. There's Ernest Morial, who was the first black mayor of New Orleans. There's Paul Morphy. He was a chess prodigy, and for his time period, he was acclaimed to be the world's greatest chess master. There is Madame Delphine Lalaurie. She became notable for torture experiments that she did against her enslaved peoples. They were so horrible that she actually got chased out of New Orleans. She moved to Paris. She died in Paris, but then was interred in St. Louis No. 1. So there are quite a famous and infamous people buried in St. Louis No. 1.
How extraordinary. And I understand there's also the Italian Mutual Benevolent Society tomb, which is really big. Tell us about that.
Yes. So the Italian Mutual Benevolent Society was one of many social aid societies in 1800s New Orleans. These groups kind of act like insurance and discount programs. Basically, you could pay monthly or yearly dues to a specific society and get benefits. Like if there's a doctor that belongs to the society, they could give you discounts. If a carpenter belongs to society, they may give you discounts, tuition assistance, things like that. But many of these societies, like Italian Mutual Benevolent Society, owned very large tombs that members could be buried in. So if you couldn't afford a own personal family tomb for yourself, you could be buried in the society's tomb. And the Italian Benevolent Society's tomb is huge. It's massive. Maybe possibly the biggest tomb in St. Louis Cemetery and the biggest social aid tomb. But its members through the years were able to be buried in that tomb. And so there's hundreds, possibly even up to close to 1,000 people buried in this very large tomb. And you can definitely see the top of it from outside of the cemetery. That's how large it is, just to give listeners an idea.
And are there still spaces in it and members of the society who are hoping that they will end up in there?
Yes, there are. Yes. Yeah, so I believe the Italian Mutual Benevolent Society still continues. How active the tomb itself is today, I'm not 100% sure. But yes, by theory, they could still be buried there.
Wow, what an extraordinary place. August, thank you for being here on Nightlife to tell us about it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
That is Dr. August Darbon, who is an educator, a writer. He's a New Orleans tour guide, and he just took us, I guess, on a virtual tour of St. Louis Cemetery No. 1, which you will find in New Orleans.
ABC Listen, podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.